XAI is being torn down and rebuilt. Macro Hard enters the equation. Tesla makes an investment in XAI. Now there's this new product announcement. Frank, can you break it down for us?
Yes. Elon has been tweeting a lot lately. He's been talking about some recent changes at XAI following management departures, voluntary or involuntary, we don't know. But I think, you know, we often describe the top four AI labs as being OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, and XAI. And I think if we look at model performance and commercial traction, it's clear that right now, XAI, despite catching up to the frontier very quickly, is solidly in fourth place there. And I think Elon is working hard to, one, change up the organizational structure and get things back on track to the extent they're off track. And then, two, work on and message ways that they hope to be on a different path in the future. And by different path, I mean talking about leveraging Tesla chips and developing the Macro Hard project, which I would say is going after a similar goal to what the other labs are. We're going to build a super capable agent that's going to increase knowledge worker productivity, or let's say corporate productivity by replacing knowledge workers. It's going to be so good. You drop it in your organization. It's going to do all these workflows for you. You're going to be willing to spend a lot of money on it. I wouldn't say that's different from what the other labs are doing. And if you look at the revenue of OpenAI and Anthropic, you can see that there's high demand for that type of product. But XAI has yet to enter the market with one, and their
can we pause there? Initiative.
Sure.
Okay. So you mentioned model performance, and it seems like the differentiating factor now is not model performance; it's model packaged into some piece of software, even if it lives in the command line, that makes the model really performant for actual end users. And so it's the industry has phase transitioned from, hey, we're releasing a new model, and here are these benchmarks that are kind of like, well, that's not something I would ever do. I would never try to compete in the math Olympiad, but I believe you that it's very good at it. And I'm using that as a proxy for, and maybe it's also useful for me because, you know, maybe I do some math problems. Two, suddenly it's like packaged in a way that knowledge workers can use it and get output immediately that seems like very useful within the context of their work. And that's actually, it's not benchmark performance, it's real world performance. And some models are still in benchmark land, and it's pretty clear that at least with Codex and Claude Cowork, those two companies have crossed into real world utility land, whereas XAI has not yet crossed that threshold. Is that the right way to think about the competitive landscape?
I agree. And I think it's like, it's not just you need a good model or you need a good harness or product to put around any old model. I think it's the vertical integration between the two that has created like the secret sauce behind Claude, you know, Anthropic's success with Claude recently. And yes, that's what kind of packaged.
Well, let me ask a question to both Frank and Brett here. How do you think about what you just described in the context of what has historically been XAI's differentiating factor, which was access to compute? It seems like we've talked about this in the past, where compute has equaled state-of-the-art performance because you can train a better model. But now it sounds like that doesn't really get you to revenue because you need to build in this product layer and distribute it in the manner that people find useful. So how do you think about XAI going forward? Like, does he need to, when he's going through this reorganization, what should the focus be?
Well, there's that important part of productizing and distribution, which is one component. And you could argue XAI had like a fairly good head start in that too, by being able to be distributed through X. So like the Grok models are used by a lot of people, but it's more for like asking Grok to explain a tweet or asking, you know, search-like questions to get question and answer. And that's just a different product choice or delivery mechanism through that social channel than like, I'm going to do work for you and sit on your desktop and build documents. Like, that's not the product they have. But I think also something might have changed, or maybe it's just a nuance to the scaling dynamics with the advent of reasoning and reinforcement learning, where in pre-training, it's kind of like, we're going to get as much data as possible, and then we're going to use a lot of compute to train a good model. And xAI like caught up in that race really, really quickly, because those like input dynamics are relatively simple, or at least like you can acquire them. But now with reinforcement learning and fine-tuning your model's ability to think, I think like real-world feedback matters a lot, and having a lot of research experiments to figure out the right path to go down when you're fine-tuning a model may have led to the other three players advancing beyond what xAI has been able to do so far. I did hear one speculation that, you know, they really focused on the engineering aspect of getting all this built out and getting something to market and getting a great pre-trained model. And they, you know, Elon has talked about how they scaled up reinforcement learning compute tremendously with xAI, but they didn't have as deep of a bench focused on this kind of like longer time horizon R&D of finding like the best future ways to train and reinforcement train models. In the same way that the other labs, and Elon doesn't even like to call them research labs because they are, you know, AI product companies, but they still do a lot of research. And I think that has, you know, paid compounding dividends over time in ways that people might have underestimated historically.
Yeah, I think a way to think about it is you have, it's not just the real-time compute you have. There's a cumulative amount of compute cycles thrown at the problem, and there's a cumulative amount of kind of researcher engineer brain power thrown at kind of like using that compute to deploy it against things in useful ways. And there's so much open terrain that actually you can kind of, there's a lot of areas to explore, and some of them tend to be extremely monetizable. So this kind of enterprise suite of products that are launching are very, it's clear that, you know, you can get CEOs and CIOs to instantly like sign off on, yes, we're going to sign this contract to give this to our workforce because they're begging for it and we recognize how useful it is. Then there are other products like Grok Imagine is, I think, probably best in class at video generation. And that is going to be clearly open up a kind of consumer AI experience that's going to be unique and weird and different. But that's not monetizable in the same instantaneous dramatic way. Elon claimed rightfully that he had, you know, you as an employee at xAI would have the most GPUs per employee. If any, you had the highest compute density per person, but then that also, there still needs to be like humans kind of like trying out how to package these things in a way that's interesting. And so, you know, you do need a lot of kind of aggressive talent going in different directions to explore this terrain. And so maybe they caught up in a year what it took the other companies 3 years to do, but they caught up to the current state of the art over the course of that year. And now the puck has moved a little bit. And so he's trying to kind of re-accelerate towards where the puck is going.
That, Brett, which I think Meta also made the claim that if you were a researcher and you came there, you'd have the most compute available. And those are the two companies that seem to have fallen behind in this AI race. So it's clear that, you know, there's some element of productization that matters. I'm curious, Frank and Brett, what is this next leg of growth between Tesla, Digital Optimus, distributed compute in cars? Like, there's a lot going on. Help us understand all the different components and pieces and how Elon plans to get this back on track.
Frank.
Yeah, I can start. I think this is a pretty interesting direction to go and definitely divergent from the other companies. So it creates an opportunity and a risk by going down this path. But what we know so far, and this was actually like previewed by the xAI employee that did an unsanctioned interview and got fired. So we knew something like this was coming, that xAI was training models that specifically would fit on Tesla's AI4 chip. This is the chip that's been shipping in cars since 2023. And the idea is, you know, there's a compute shortage in the world. A good portion of that is driven from a lack of power data centers to even put chips into. And Tesla has been shipping chips for the past 3 years into its vehicles. They have a battery attached to it, and they plug into the grid in a bunch of ways that are unconstrained from data centers. So how can we use that resource? That's an opportunity. There's a lot of latent compute there, but that compute looks different than what's going into data centers today. Like, the AI4 chip has it's two actual dies on the chip that have 8 gigabytes of RAM each. So maybe they can use the memory in a shared way, so maybe it's 16. But either way, you're getting a model that's an order of magnitude plus smaller than what can run on modern NVIDIA GPUs in a data center. So this is a deliberate choice of training smaller models that can run on the edge and see how much work you can get done with those, while also pairing them when you need a more intelligent model with a cloud-based Grok instance. So Elon's saying that Digital Optimus will basically be this super efficient, lightweight model that can run on Tesla chips and maybe be the workhorse, so to speak, and then it will offload to the cloud as needed. We'll see what you could do with that architecture. I think it's interesting because it's this big unlock in compute capability if you can nail it. But if at the end of the day you need an Opus-level model that runs in the cloud, or that nature of a hybrid architecture results in challenging product decisions, it could not work.
I think there's he's clearly looking at what's happening in the humanoid robot space and being like, okay, I see how these puzzle pieces could fit together, where you have the system one model, the model where it's like, I need to pick up this, you know, can of tasty beverage, and I don't have to explicitly think about picking it up or kind of moving it around or holding it to my lips. There's like a level of kind of like embedded, embodied knowledge that allows me to kind of move around in the world and walk and all of these like basic tasks. And then there's also kind of like high level thinking I have to do about, and you can think of it within the driving context. It's like you can drive kind of mindlessly, but then sometimes there's a very confusing intersection and you're like, am I in the right lane here and how should I go? Actually on the robotaxi side, Tesla has explicitly talked about bringing in a reasoning model that can layer on top at a lower latency. A higher latency, meaning it's not refreshing every, you know, microsecond. Instead, it's coming in for those more complex use cases. And our experience navigating the digital, you know, online world is probably somewhat similar with maybe a different mix of I'm trying to get a data set somewhere and I navigate the website and there's some stuff I'm interpreting and some it's like, oh, now I have to fill in this form or now I have to do this set of actions that is like more mindless and could probably be compressed into a smaller kind of actor. And the vision is that all of those tasks can be shoved to this edge computing platform with periodic grabbing from the Grok style larger model in order to make a more efficient kind of digital agent.
Can I offer
agent
a counter or an alternative potential reason that this is happening and being communicated, which is that he's just trying to tie the two companies, XAI, which I guess now is SpaceX, and Tesla, closer together so that he can, you know, in the future, very near future, combine SpaceX and Tesla.
Well, I think getting to space compute, like being able to run models on, if you are launching, or so to pay for a gigawatt of AI compute, you basically have to rent it for around $10 billion a year. Rough numbers, depends on who's buying and who's selling, but call that the rough number. If you look at kind of the cost of NVIDIA chips in that mix, it's, you know, what, Frank, 75% or something of that is just going to NVIDIA. Well, NVIDIA has like 70%+ gross margin. So if you could do the same thing on a chip that is, you know, not 75% of the mix, but instead 25% of the mix, you can cut your cost of AI compute, your cost of access to AI compute by a lot. And so having your own set of chips where you're not having to pay out NVIDIA's gross margin that you can run meaningful workloads against could provide an extreme competitive advantage. So you, as not just Tesla or SpaceX, but all of these companies are trying to figure out how to not pay the vig to NVIDIA on as much as possible. And with Elon's enterprises in particular, because he has this on-the-ground distributed fleet and is soon going to have a space distributed fleet, with Tesla explicitly designing and deploying the chips against both of those, you know, that's his solution to that problem. So I do think that there's, Tesla is clearly a buyer of Grok reasoning and a seller of chips into Grok, and there's naturally going to need to be some of the AI engineers on the Tesla side then kind of like at least closely collaborating with what's happening in SpaceX AI
just combine the
to do that.
to reiterate or underscore something, if you could do the same thing, that's the key word to that whole argument, is this works fabulously. If you could do the same thing on an AI 4 chip at the edge as you could do on a Vera Rubin.
And would you get paid as a Tesla owner for selling this compute? Or allowing,
Yes, I mean, explicitly, Tesla's going to try to develop the fab and sell the chip. So assuming they're still arm's-length entities, then there is going to be some purchasing of the chips by SpaceX to stick on their satellites.
If you own the car.
He's saying if you own the car.
Oh, well, I think that's a reasonable question. I would assume, yes, you're going to have to opt in. And just like the virtual power plant stuff works with your, you know, I have a energy storage device there that, you know, I get revenue from on a quarterly basis, maybe through my utility, because they can call on it when they need to. And you would think that the same could be true for Tesla owners, but it could be it subsidizes your FSD package, or, you know, the Cybercab is doing it.
What about your supercharger? Like, how much margin does Tesla put on the power that goes to the supercharger? What if they just gave everybody half off supercharging if you let us run inference on your car at night?
I think it's fair to say that there are plenty of business model kind of like optimizations they could do here that kind of compensate people to encourage them to opt in to allow their computers to be used for this stuff. It could lower your cost of ownership. It could be credits to ride on Tesla robo-taxis. You know, there's all kinds of ways they could do it.
Okay, but I want to layer in something. Frank and Brett, want your opinions here. I think we are still so early in this, and it's like we're saying people are compute constrained, but I don't even think we've started to see the degree to which constraints are going to occur if you go out 3 years, right? And it's like, certainly you need to cross the chasm and get there. But, and here's a very flawed analogy, which, you know, help me walk through it. But this reminds me a lot of Uber in like the very early days in ride hailing, where it's like you have all of these companies out there and it's like, okay, why would anyone win this? And it's like, you can just, let's say you want to start a new market. It's like, do you want to have 1,000 locked in customers and then try and go find drivers? Or do you want to show up to a new city with 1,000 drivers and then build customers off of that? And I think what Elon is seeing is, it's like, you can, getting customers is going to be the easy thing if in 3 years out from now, you have all of the drivers. And I'm saying the drivers are compute slash energy.
Yes, I think that's valid. And with the caveat that in order to afford the compute, you need to convince the financiers that you have a credible enough thing you're going to present to customers that it's worth investing in the compute that's specific for your stack. So for Tesla and SpaceX specifically, being able to demonstrate that, like Frank said, they can do useful work on kind of their custom chips in a way that is compelling is an open engineering and productization question. And I think that all of the signs that we're seeing, as in Anthropic signed up, what was it, like $9 billion in additional annualized revenue over like 2 months. That's a promise to people that they're going to have compute to give to them. And people are getting clipped off left and right on the amount of compute they can use on those products right now. So it's actually, it's a great problem, but it is a problem. And I think that you will see that, as in, if I go to Anthropic and I'm like, oh, I'm getting this, but it's not actually working for me, I'm going to turn around and go to SpaceX, XAI, and say, hey, can you provide me with the utility I want here or something resembling it and actually deliver it to me? And XAI might be, yes, we have the compute available to you. And so I do think that the ultimate constraint here is the amount of compute that you have. And Elon, with both the promise of future productization, but also his, you know, very deep pockets and relationships with entities with even deeper pockets, I think that there's a reasonable case to be made that they at least have an orthogonal angle on more compute that's growing in a different trajectory than everybody else. and with this custom chip thing, also a different architecture. And so they, you know, whatever they have, I do think will be different and maybe scaling more successfully than the others. But it's that's a 3 to 5 year view. I think the next, you know, couple years could be.
Is it safe to say then that the failsafe for xAI is they can't materially build a product around all of the compute they have in their models, but then they're just able to sell that compute to Anthropic and companies that can figure out how to productize AI?
I think that's a possibility.
I would say that's the failsafe for Tesla, not XAI as a separate entity right now.
Well, but XAI is a subsidiary of SpaceX. And so the SpaceX launching, they are going to launch AI compute satellites and with the ability to have XAI directly deploy them or to sell that compute capability to others. So I think it's likely, just like with their launch vehicles, you know, they don't use all of the launch capacity themselves. They also launch other people's kit, including competitors. I think they will also provide kind of like a
hosting capability for
others. Hosting capability for others. And it may even be that they, you know, they don't launch with only Tesla chips. It could be there's TPUs up there as well, you know, and that they have a kind of like co-opetition relationship with Google that de-risks kind of some of their capital expenditures to some degree, gives them option value and, you know, potentially even, you know, financing help if they need it to make sure they're in kind of the long-term position that
Claude to make an infographic of the self-dealing between all of these entities so I can understand who owns what part of everything you're talking about.
Well, no, it's, you got three players. They're all going this way. And you've got Elon and co going.
But you have XAI SpaceX, and SpaceX is going to deliver orbital data centers for XAI, and XAI is going to deliver Grok models, and then Tesla is going to deliver Digital Optimus and sell custom chips. I want to see it visually.
I here's the picture that I've written in my head over the last 30 seconds. Like, Tesla has a custom chip deployed in mass in cars today that could be useful in the future. SpaceX has a reasonable path to launching a bunch of those chips or others' chips into space to be used by anybody who has demand for it. And then XAI has research talent and distribution through X to build compelling products that could tap into any of those two sources of compute or traditional data center path that they're doing right now.
Thank you.
With the caveat that SpaceX is not going to launch AI-4 on its satellites. It'll be AI-5 or AI-7 or, you know, it'll be some future chip. Elon is right that kind of the cyber cabs that they build are going to be, you know, like 60% utilized because there's a huge demand cycle in kind of transportation that you can't fill all of it in by delivering parcels. So there's going to be underutilization of those chips, but they're definitely going to be plugged in, ready to be used. And if you look at the total power budget of the vehicle, it's mostly moving it around. It's not running the chip. So they will be able to be plugged in and charging while being used to do useful work. And I think that we're probably still in the frame of, oh, this is knowledge workers using things. These chips will be useful for kind of simulating future worlds so that we can live the best version of that future world. That's like a high level, you know, as in I'm going to simulate the universe for it 100 times. I'm going to pick the best thread for me. That's kind of what all of this inference capability is going to be useful for. And I think we're very, 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 very early on the path to that eventuality.
All right. So we forgot to invite people to ask questions last time. Please do drop them in the comments and we will answer them in the best way we can in the next video for the best or funniest questions
out there. ARK Investment Management LLC is an SEC registered investment advisor. ARK, Wolf Financial, and Public are separate, unaffiliated entities and do not have a relationship with respect to any company marketing or selling the products or services of the others. ARK, Wolf Financial, and Public make no representation or warranties regarding and expressly disclaim any responsibility or liability for any acts, omissions, losses, or damages of the other entities or their affiliates, officers, employees, or agents. No company shall be liable for any indirect, incidental, consequential, or special damages arising out of or in connection with this podcast or its contents. The information provided in this show is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision and is subject to change without notice. It does not constitute either explicitly or implicitly any provision of services or products by ARK, and investors should determine for themselves whether a particular investment management service is suitable for their investment needs. All statements made regarding companies or securities are strictly beliefs and points of view held by ARK and or show guests and are not endorsements by ARK of any company or security or recommendations by ARK to buy, sell, or hold any security. Historical results are not indications of future results. Certain of the statements contained in this show may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on ARK's current views and assumptions and involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statement. ARK assumes no obligation to update any forward-looking information. ARK and its clients, as well as its related persons, may, but do not necessarily, have financial interests in securities or issuers that are discussed. Certain information was obtained from sources that ARK believes to be reliable. However, ARK does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information obtained from any third party.